It's been called the great American novel. Sprawling, engaging, compulsive, compelling, filled with historical asides. I speak, of course, of Moby Dick, Herman Melville's epic. This is one of those stories that has so permeated our culture that even people who have not read it know what it's about. Now, Melville had to make a choice when he named the story. Moby Dick or the whale. But he could just as easily have named it Ahab. For the driven, obsessed whaler, whose obsession drives the narrative, is at the center of the story. Now, just as Moby Dick could have been called Ahab, so too the book of Ruth could have been named after another character. Now, whereas Moby Dick is long and rambling and does not have a particularly happy ending, the book of Ruth is concise, even exquisite, and does have an outcome that is satisfying and uplifting. But it could just as easily have been the book of Naomi, for this is her story. Now, the reason that Ruth's name is attached to this piece of scripture has to do with theological debates going on thousands of years ago, as people were lifting up the claims of the Davidic monarchy. And we learn at the very end of this story that David will be descended from Ruth. And there were also discussions going on about whether outsiders should be welcomed into the community. And Ruth, as we know, is a Moabite. But there's something else going on in this story that speaks to us today in ways that may not have been intended by the author then. But that, of course, is the power of Scripture, that God works through it and lifts new meanings and understandings up before us. Brian brought us into the story at a pivotal moment. Naomi, 10 years earlier, had left her homeland with her husband, Elimelech, and their two sons. They fled because of famine. Imagine having to leave Lebanon because all of the crops had failed and the food distribution had collapsed. We couldn't eat here. You had to flee for a new home. Imagine how wrenching that would be to leave. That is what they did. And the only place they could go was Moab, the home of their rivals, a people with whom the Israelites had long been in contention. So they settled in this new place, and there Naomi's husband dies. At least, though, she has the comfort of her family, of her two sons, and they grow and they marry, and then they too die. And so Naomi finds herself a widow in a strange land, mother-in-law to two other widows. No prospects, no future. And then a small glimmer of hope presents itself. There's food back home in Bethlehem. The famine's ended there. So she decides to return to her people. And Orpah and Ruth, her daughters-in-law, want to go with her. But Naomi wants to discourage them because she has nothing to offer them. There is no future for them there with her. Orpah accepts the logic and stays behind, but not Ruth. Ruth makes a vow. Famous words, where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. Words that embodied her loyalty and her devotion. Naomi relented and let her come along. So they return to Bethlehem, and there the locals see her. Is that Naomi? And in that moment, 10 years of loss and disappointment and pain and deprivation, and yes, a feeling of abandonment break forth. Don't call me Naomi. The people who would have heard this in the Hebrew would have recognized that Naomi meant pleasantness. Call me Mara, bitterness. And why? Here's the stunning part. Imagine Naomi saying this to the community. I left here full. I come back with nothing, and it's God's fault. God has struck out at me. God has taken everything from me. Imagine that. Imagine that. Now, as I was preparing today's sermon, I consulted different commentaries. And one of my go-to sources is an oldie but goodie, the Interpreter's Bible from the mid-20th century. It's a reference that has withstood the tests of time, the passing of academic fads. There are just great timeless insights there. But this time, the commentary fell short. The author said that the essence of religion is that we can have faith when it seems we should have no faith. And by that standard, Naomi fell short. She should have been able to draw on her good memories of the years before, of the blessings she had enjoyed. And as I read this, I couldn't help but think, how callous. In fact, as I thought more about Naomi and what she had said, about her plaintive cry, I thought, this is what faith is all about. Because in this moment, she was honest. And she was truthful, and she was not hiding anything from God. She laid it all out on the table. And her example has much to offer us today. During a season of Lent, when we come before God, and we look at how we can change our relationship with both God and God's people. We need to be honest about things, honest about ourselves, but honest also with God about where we feel things aren't working out on our relationship. And this book of Ruth offers us a model of relationship with God that is strikingly modern. Because unlike most of the other texts in the Old Testament, God here is silent. Go take a look at Exodus or Genesis. As one of my professors at Divinity School said, you couldn't shut God up. He's always talking. He talks to Abraham. He talks to Moses. He goes on and on and on. Then he goes and finds himself prophets. Look at Isaiah and Jeremiah. He's talking through them. And in our Christian tradition, we believe that God so wanted to talk to us that he came here to be one of us. Talk, 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 but not in the book of Ruth. Oh, yes, people discern God's work in the world in this book. Naomi does. But humans speak, humans pray, and they're not getting a direct response. God isn't appearing as a character, having one-on-one conversations. This is the way faith works for most people today. We pray, and we believe God is listening, but God's not answering us in a direct dialogue. No burning bushes. We too will have moments where we feel abandoned. Sometimes it's by a friend or a family member. Maybe it's a church, a place of employment. And that is painful. And that hurts. But to be abandoned by God, to feel that, there are different ways to respond to that experience. One would be to say, God, if you are abandoning me, if you are leaving me alone, making me feel that way, then I will abandon you. I will walk away from this whole faith business. I will find meaning elsewhere. Millions of people do it. But all they've done is deprive themselves of a relationship. Another possibility would be to so fully engage in that moment of abandonment that we make ourselves prisoners and we're trapped and we're consumed by the loss and the pain. And then there is Naomi's approach. There we acknowledge what has happened to us. We own it. And then we find a way forward. By being honest about the disappointment in our relationship with God, we learn from Naomi, we create space for that relationship to grow and evolve and develop and mature. And that's what she did. And she saw God working in her life in different ways as the story unfolds. She was then able to engage with her people and their customs, which led her to encourage Ruth to go and glean in the field, and then to strike up a connection with Boaz, and to develop a relationship, and to get married, and to create a new life. Naomi, working from a place of honesty, was able to fashion a new reality for Ruth and for herself. It didn't make the pain or the suffering from the past disappear. It didn't ignore it. but it did say it wasn't going to dominate what was to come. It's okay to ask God, where are you? It's okay to be angry with God. God can take it. Sometimes we risk that God might do to us what he did to Job. Subject us to a verbal smackdown. But that's part of being in a relationship. God would much rather we be angry with him than that we turn away from him. God would much rather that we be honest with God and ourselves than we try to just put a happy face on. And so, consider the example of Naomi. And consider the example of Captain Ahab. Things didn't work out all too well for Ahab in the end, did they? He was consumed. Naomi, though, she moved forward. And she did so with God by her side.